Welcome back to Boundaries That Stick, 5 reasons why your boundaries don't work and what to do about it. This is lesson 2 on boundary basics. I'm Brent Peek, a licensed professional counselor and your coach on this journey. It's great to have you back. In our last lesson, we talked about why boundaries are important and we introduced the 5 common boundary traps. And today we're going to dig a little bit deeper into understanding what boundaries are, the different types of boundaries, and I'm going to take you through a process on how to craft and communicate your boundaries. Now, last time we talked about boundaries as a personal space bubble, and I want to give you just another metaphor. Boundaries are also like invisible fences that protect your physical, emotional, and mental space. They help you define what's acceptable and what isn't in your interactions with other people and in what you want in your environment. So think of them as your personal rule book for how you want to be treated. Now, there are 3 main types of boundaries that I want you to consider for this course. Each serves to protect different aspects of your well-being, and here are the 3 main types. Number 1, physical boundaries. These are boundaries that involve your personal space, your privacy, your physical needs. They determine who can touch you, how close they can get to you, how much physical space you need to feel comfortable. Think about how uncomfortable you feel when someone stands too close to you and you might ask them to step back, or you might take that boundary for yourself and step away. So, number 1, physical boundaries. Number 2, emotional boundaries. These are the boundaries that protect your emotional well-being by allowing you to separate your feelings from the feelings of others. An emotional boundary is an internal, a psychological boundary that helps you manage your emotions and prevent others from dictating how you feel. Think about a friend who might frequently share their problems with you, and they're overwhelmed and they expect you to be overwhelmed on their behalf. You might limit your time discussing those things with your friends. You might share with your friend that you'd like to talk about something else, or that it is overwhelming for you and you want to step away. That's okay to do. Number 3, intellectual boundaries. These involve your thoughts, your beliefs, your ideas. They allow you to express your opinions and respect other people's viewpoints without feeling invalidated or attacked. For example, if someone dismisses your opinion during a discussion, you might assert your right to hold and express your view. That doesn't mean that you're demanding they agree with you, but you have a right to hold to the view that you do. So, these are the 3 types of boundaries: physical boundaries, emotional boundaries, and intellectual boundaries. So, in one sense, a boundary is that simple line, whether you think of it as a bubble or think of it as a fence, that simple line around you, what goes inside it and what doesn't come inside it. What stays outside of it. But how do you set a boundary and communicate it with somebody else? Well, there's a few steps I want to go with you. First, you have to identify what you need. Now, this is done before you actually communicate with the person, but step 1 is identify what you need. So in order to identify what you need to do a few things. You need to engage in some self-reflection. Begin by taking time to understand your needs, your limits, your preferences, your desires. Consider situations where you feel discomfort, stress, or resentment, as these are often indicators of where boundaries need to be set. For example, if you feel stressed every time you have to stay late at work, well, that might indicate a need to set a boundary around your work hours. So in order to identify what you need, engage in some self-reflection. And then begin to assess your priorities. Determine what is most important to you in terms of your well-being, your values, and your personal goals. This helps you prioritize what boundaries you want to set first. Then you want to recognize some patterns. Look for patterns in your interactions and relationships that consistently cause you distress. Understanding these patterns can help you identify specific areas where boundaries may be lacking. For example, if you notice that you often feel overwhelmed after agreeing to too many social obligations or volunteer opportunities, You might need to set some limits around how many events you commit to, how many activities you commit to on a weekly or monthly basis. And then the last part of identifying what you need is to clarify your own feelings. How you feel matters. So be clear about your emotions and why you feel the need to set a boundary. Are you feeling some frustration? Are you feeling some fear about an outcome? Are you feeling some sadness or pain about opportunities missed because of overcommitment? You get to clarify your feelings because your feelings matter. If you feel anxious when your personal space is invaded, then recognizing that feeling and understanding what you need in order to set your boundaries is an appropriate thing to do. So, self-reflection, assessing your priorities, recognizing the patterns, and clarifying your feelings, these are all part of step one in setting a boundary: identify what you need. Number two, and this again needs to be done before you start communicating with anybody, you need to identify what you're going to do if what you need and hope for isn't accommodated. What are you going to do if they don't follow through? So as you go through this process and figure that out, you need to anticipate some resistance. Consider the possibility that the other person might not accommodate your boundary. And think about potential scenarios where your primary plan might not be respected or feasible. For example, if you request some quiet time after work and that's ignored by your family, you need to decide what you're going to do. What's your backup plan going to be? Then, as you identify what you're going to do, you also need to develop that contingency plan. Create the backup plan that outlines what actions you're going to take if your boundary isn't honored. This plan should focus on protecting your well-being, because that's what a boundary is actually about, and ensuring that your needs are met regardless of the other person's response. So, for example, if your home environment is too noisy and nobody's quieting down, you might just decide to step out for a bit. Maybe it's a situation where you don't really have the degree of influence or control that you might expect to have, whether it's at home or whether it's at a friend's house or whatever. You might need to step away. So develop that contingency plan and then plan your concrete steps around what you're going to do. So step one in setting your boundary is identifying what it is that you want and need. Step two is identifying what you're going to do if your needs are not accommodated. And then number three, this is where you share with somebody else. Share your preferences and your backup plan, if necessary, assertively and respectfully. So you might want to prepare the message. Before discussing your boundary with someone else, you might want to prepare what you're going to say. Make it clear, make it concise, make it assertive, and make it respectful. Avoid being confrontational or aggressive or blaming. Instead, focus on what you need, what you're hoping for, and how that relates to your well-being. You might need to say, I need some quiet time after work to relax and recharge because it helps me reduce stress. It helps me feel calm and balanced. Prepare the message. Then you're going to need to choose the right time and place. Select an appropriate time and setting for the conversation. And most importantly, this means not doing it when things are heated. I tell folks, rate the intensity on a scale of 0 to 10. And if it's a 6 or 7 out of 10 or higher, you probably need to wait. So wait for that calm moment and ensure that it's a calm, private, discreet environment where both parties can speak openly and without distractions. And then you're going to need to communicate clearly. That means using some I statements here. No blaming. It's not about you do this, you always do that. No, it's about what I need, how I feel, and I am asking for this for myself here. I'm not trying to dictate what your intentions are or what you need to do. I'm making a request. So communicate clearly with I statements about your needs and your feelings. Be specific. Be inclusive. Outline your preference, why it matters to you. Share your backup plan. Okay? And then seek feedback. If it's a situation where you feel more at ease with the other person, then maybe we have a conversation. Maybe there's some room for negotiation. At other times, you might be dealing with someone that just typically doesn't respect these kinds of conversations, and that's when you need to keep it brief, and there may not be as much of an opportunity for feedback from the other person. So, setting a boundary. First two steps, you do it before you ever talk to someone. Number one, you identify what you need. Number two, you identify what you're going to do if your needs are not accommodated. Number three, you're going to share that with the other person, what you want, what your backup plan is, assertively and respectfully. And then number four, now you have a choice here, because this part kind of depends on what they do. But if they agree to accommodate you, then you need to express gratitude. And if they don't, then you need to prepare to follow through on your backup plan. So if they accommodate you, express gratitude. Let them know that you are grateful that they are willing to accommodate what you're asking for. Acknowledge their effort, acknowledge their willingness, and you should probably even offer some support in that. Let them know you're thankful and maybe say, what can I do to help you with that? Is there anything you need from me? Express some gratitude and make an offer of support. But if they don't, then step four shifts to following through on your backup plan. If your boundary isn't accommodated, calmly and assertively follow through on your backup plan. And then you're going to want to maintain consistency with that. Consistently enforce your backup plan whenever necessary. This consistency helps reinforce the importance of your boundary and ensures that your needs are consistently met. Now, there may come a time where you want to reevaluate and adjust it. So periodically reassess your boundary. Make sure it's still working for you. Maybe there will come a time where you can loosen up on it a bit. Maybe there will be some circumstances in which you might want to shore it up a bit or even create a different backup plan for yourself. But by following these steps, number one, identify what you need. Number two, identify your backup plan. Number three, share it assertively and respectfully with the other person. And then number four, either show appreciation or follow through. When you do these things, you effectively set and maintain boundaries that protect your well-being. They uphold your integrity and they foster healthier relationships. Setting boundaries is an ongoing process that requires self-awareness, clear communication, and a commitment to follow through. So, in our last lesson, I mentioned Jennifer. Remember her? She's a busy mom. She takes care of her parents. She has a job with some leadership responsibilities, and she's a busy volunteer for a cause that really matters to her. But Jennifer often finds herself overwhelmed with work and family and volunteer responsibilities, and she knows she's getting pretty close to burnout and stress. So Jennifer's noticed that she rarely has time for herself, and that's impacting her mental health and her overall well-being. And to address it, she's decided that she wants to set a boundary to ensure that she's got some dedicated personal time each day. So Jennifer begins by identifying her need for that personal time. She realizes that she feels most stressed when she comes home from work and immediately dives into household chores and family activities without any downtime. So Jennifer decides that she needs about 30 minutes of quiet time after work to decompress and recharge. Now, she anticipates that the family might not immediately understand or respect this need. So she develops a backup plan that if the house is too noisy, she's going to go for a walk to a nearby park or maybe even visit a quiet cafe on her way home from work. So Jennifer prepares to communicate her boundary clearly and respectfully. She waits for a calm moment and explains to her family, hey, I need some quiet time after work to relax and recharge. So if the house is too noisy, I'll take a walk to the park, I'll stop by a cafe, but I'd like to be able to have some quiet time here at home. And then she talks with them about what that could look like, and they negotiate it and come up with a plan. Now, she makes sure to choose a time for this conversation when everyone's relaxed, when everyone's open to discussion. And initially, they might resist a bit because they are used to Jennifer being available right after work. But she remains firm, explains how important this is for her, and when her family occasionally forgets about it, she follows through on her backup plan. This is how she shows commitment to the boundary, and her boundary isn't dependent on how they respond. Over time, her family learns to respect the boundary and her need for personal time, and she begins to feel more balance and at ease in her life. So, three takeaways from this today. Number one, increasing your understanding of boundaries here, that they are invisible fences that protect your physical, emotional, and mental space. Types of boundaries: physical, related to personal space and physical needs. Emotional, protecting your emotional well-being by separating your feelings from the feelings of others, that internal psychological boundary. And then intellectual, your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, your ideas. You have a right to these things. And then setting boundaries, that four-step process. Identify what you need, identify what your backup plan is, share it respectfully and assertively, and then follow through with either gratitude or your backup plan. That process of setting boundaries is what will help you move towards a life of greater balance and greater ease. So, three reflection questions for you today. Write these down in your journal, in a notebook. Number one, some self-reflection here. Think about a recent situation where you felt uncomfortable or stressed. Is there a specific boundary? Maybe you didn't think about this situation as a boundary type of situation. But think about recent situations where you've been uncomfortable and stressed and ask yourself, is there a boundary that you could set to address that discomfort? Are there steps that you can take? And whose help do you need to enlist for that? That's where you begin to think about how to craft that boundary. Number two, assessing your current boundaries. Reflect on your current relationships, your interactions at work and with friends. Are there any patterns where you are consistently feeling overwhelmed and invalidated? Use that question to identify what you need and write about how you can begin to set boundaries in that area to improve your well-being. And then number three, consider a boundary that you need to set. How will you communicate it? How will you be assertive, but also respectful at the same time? And what will your backup plan be? What can you do in case your initial boundary is not honored? So, in this lesson, we explored the foundational aspects of boundaries, their definition, the types, how to set a boundary, gave you a step-by-step process of exactly how to create and set your boundary. Understanding these basics is the first step towards setting effective boundaries and protecting your well-being. In our next lesson, the compliance trap, we will discuss a common boundary trap and how to overcome it. So stay tuned, and I look forward to guiding you further on this journey.